2 of the Paranoid Gamer podcast. I'm your host, Robert. With me is Fagan,
How you doing?
Mike,
How's it going?
and Taylor.
Hi, I don't even want to be here.
So, I mean, it's been a very interesting week, at least from when we started talking about the whole BioWare stuff. I do want to kind of touch on that just for a brief moment. I don't want to spend 40 minutes on it like we did last time. But,
Oh, God.
maybe one of you guys could talk about, BioWare's reaction to the whole thing, finally.
Oh, they pretty much conceded defeat, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, something like that, right?
I mean, sure, it's full of tons of PR stuff about how great it was and how hard everyone worked on it, but for the most part, they kind of just rolled over, I think.
I'm telling you, it was planned from the beginning. EA is responsible.
You just want to make conspiracy
no,
out of
no
everything.
Conspiracy logic. Use some logic. EA invented the online pass, right? Everybody does it now. EA is the master of releasing every 6 months DLC for their games. Come on, get with it, guys. Logic. They did it on purpose. Just
There's
to make
a
more
point there.
Yeah, just like the indoctrination theory, which turned out to be debunked by the very writers.
I guarantee they run with the indoctrination theory, because now, like, what else are they going to fucking do?
I can think of go back to do the original ending like it was supposed to be.
I think
that remains to be seen, but I'm telling you, they did it. They're doing it from the beginning.
I think the ending is just a result of poor planning and them trying to figure out a way to continue the series later with DLC and other titles, and it just kind of came out jumbled. I don't think, though, that they really intended to release a shitty ending that would make everyone mad and then fix it with DLC. I just think
maybe that's a little far-fetched, but definitely I think they planned doing something with the ending. Because, like, come on. It's EA. They're money-grubbing whores.
Whoa.
Wow, that's a little... Did we give our disclaimer that this podcast was written by EA, so we can't be responsible for the ending?
I mean,
or we're closing shop because they're no longer paying our ad revenue.
At this point, I don't think we're going to get much in the way of stuff from EA for.
I think we'll never see another game from them, which is fine with me. There are some games out there that we have discovered that are actually much more fun to play than, say, Mass Effect was.
Oh,
so.
I mean, what are we going to miss out on than bastardizing more games like Syndicate and stuff? I mean, what are we going to really miss out on with EA?
Syndicate? What was that?
That was that futuristic first-person shooter reboot.
It was a turn-based strategy game on PC, and then they decided that the best way that they could preserve that was to make it a first-person shooter.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I guess you're going to miss the secret world, aren't you?
Why?
That's EA.
Dun, dun, dun.
He's like, oh, shit.
It's published by them.
Well, I'm not paying for that, though.
It's just published by them, not developed
yeah,
by them.
That's not that's not developed by them. I thought...
Yeah, well, they're just going to pump out more shitty DLC for you to buy.
Wow.
You mean expansion packs?
That's... You people are harshing my buzz. All right. There are very few things that I look for. I'm old. I don't have much to look forward to in my life anymore. I had Mass Effect 3 and that's been ruined. So, and then I got Armored Core, which we'll get into in a bit, which has been ruined.
by Robert.
thanks for that, suggestion. Oh, go out and buy Armored Core. Oh, great game. Too bad I can't play it.
You can.
Yeah. Now, what was your suggestion that I could play it? Dad, when I'm asleep late at night, when you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can go ahead and play it.
I mean, that seems like a perfectly good time. Nobody else is going to be playing it. Seems to go perfectly with that whole team-oriented gameplay.
Didn't you pay for it? I mean, why don't you just take
yes,
it?
Yes, I did pay for it.
Lay down
and
a
I should have. Yeah, I've been kind of doped, which is it's hurtful. So
this is a very special episode of the Paranoid Gamer Podcast,
sponsored by Namco. No. No.
I wish, boy, talk about a game that is worth every penny I paid for it.
You're lucky. Just... Robert is saving you. This game has ruined my life. I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna stop eating, drinking, going to the bathroom, having a girlfriend, working, or anything else.
Yeah, he's already put in his 2 weeks' notice on the site. He's never gonna be pumped.
Well, we should probably just get into Armored Core then, because, you know, to heck with all the nasty news around about Mass Effect and BioWare and everything else. I'd say get into some good news. Armored Core 5 absolutely rocks. Great game.
It's From Software, honestly, just quickly becoming one of my favorite developers in the world right now. They don't pander to any group of gamers. They don't pander to their publishers. They just make the games that they want to make. I mean, they flat out said in interviews, we just make the games we want to make. And all they really hope for is that it sells enough for them to make the next game. That's all they care about. And they're a great company. I mean, they don't hold your hand. They don't sell you tons of DLC. They don't release half-finished games. You know, they just put out what they want to put out. And people have been responding to it a lot lately with, you know, Dark Souls, Demon Souls, and I think with this game too.
Mm-hmm. I think more people need to play this game. You know, I really do. I think the news needs to get out. This is as fun as it gets for a multiplayer game.
It's Chrome Hounds Reborn, pretty much.
Yeah.
Without Sega to hold it back.
Or being on Xbox Live. You know, that was another big one.
Well, no one wanted to play Chrome Hounds when, you know, there's Halo to play, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've told you what my complaints about the game were. I still think it's still the graphics are okay, but then again, the gameplay once you get your controls set up the right way, boy, that game, it just turns into an absolute love fest with guns and blowing things up.
To be fair, as far as the graphics, the areas can be quite large too, which mm-hmm. is a factor in the graphical.
They were in Chrome Hounds too.
I think Chrome Hounds looks worse than Armored Core 5.
Except there was a giant hill in Armored Core. Chrome Hounds are just one giant.
I don't know. You had some of the cities, and you have pretty much the city with the canal going through the middle of it. You fought down through. I don't know how many times. Yeah. But at the same time, it was still fun. You know, and I wish we'd have the speed and Chrome Hounds that we have in this game to play.
You know what's really surprised me the most about this about Armored Core 5 in the last 3 days or so?
What?
Is having played a lot of shooters, a lot of online games, I've gotten tons of hate mail, I've listened to tons of 12-year-olds screaming over the mic, I've every racial slur and sexual orientation joke and jab, you know, in the books. Just, you know, just the typical stuff that you run into playing online. Just really horrible, reprehensible people being assholes due to anonymity on the internet. And then me and Rob go into the game. We make a tiny little team just for me and him to goof around in. And then we decide to open it up and just, you know, we write a little message on the team, you know, looking for team members. And we come back the next day and it's absolutely filled to the brim with people. Almost all of them are using mics. Almost all of them are nice, happy, well-adjusted people who just, you know, want to play well, work as a team, and there's been like no one just being an asshole, pretty much. Like, I'm just really blown away by how nice this this community is already turning out to be.
And here's my other big complaint about this game: the teams aren't big enough. They need to increase the size of the teams. 20 is too small.
Yeah, I would say that.
I would, especially as mean as the team Paranoid is getting. I mean, that for a little team that just started and to find yourselves in the position that you're in right now, ready to conquer two fairly good-sized territories, I mean, that's
yeah, we were actually, bad. What, third in the Abandoned City? And then
second. You went second someplace for a while.
Yeah, we're actually second in Urban City.
Yeah.
Bring it.
Well, the thing that's nice about that, too, is that they're going to do a season reset within a couple weeks, so it gives everyone a chance to really attack. And I think that when that happens, I think Paranoia, our team, by the way, will be able to have a good chance to take some territory outright, to just own that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the viciousness that your team show. I've been watching, you know, since I can't play, I have to watch. And yeah, eventually be able to play in a year or so.
You should make them chip in. You should make them pay you $30 right now for half the game. You should just make them chip out $30.
He should just give me the money for the game since I'm not being allowed to play it.
I didn't say you couldn't play it. I'm just saying you have to figure out a time to work around my schedule.
What? Yeah.
And of course, poor Mike doesn't have the game, and so there's like nothing to contribute to this conversation. He's just sitting in the background.
It's like, man, I'm just waiting until we talk about crop circles later.
Mike, buddy, you want to play on Xbox?
I'm thinking about picking it up. Seriously, you guys are making me want to buy it.
Dude, we can hook up on the Xbox. I can go back and take my Xbox back into the, you know, back part of the house, and I can play it on that. We can play together, man.
And, you have to buy. Then you'd be buying two copies, then, right?
It almost might be worth
it. It honestly almost might be worth it. Like,
yeah.
As far as like the only DLC I've seen for it in like the Japanese store and stuff is what they did is they have like I think it's only like $1 or $2, and it gives you like a new workshop, you know, like a new garage look. And it gives you a bunch of battle damage parts. Not like unique parts that are better than other things, just literally like, the same parts, but with like bullet holes and scars and stuff all over them to look cooler and just like a buck or two. And I'm thinking, you know, from software, honestly, I think I might just give them money. I think they deserve it.
That's great. I'm not big into that. I just like putting guns on things and blowing things up.
And that's one thing I want to hit right before we move on to subjects, too. It's just that the options, the amount of effort that they put into giving gamers options in this game, from the way you play, the people you play with, your control schemes, your HUDs, the type of mech and play style you use, customizing your territory, your emblems, your player profile, your team, the methods in which you can take people in so that you can either just let everyone in, you can pretty much have it so that it's approval basis, so you have to approve each person individually, passwords, away statuses, the fact that the entire team can voice chat seamlessly across all the different menu screens, you know, no matter what you're doing. Just it for anyone out there, it really is staggering how much they put into just letting gamers have options to just do it the way they want to do it.
Yeah, it really is. It's ridiculous. And it's so intuitive, everything. I mean, it's a button press and you're in the game. Like, pretty much, like, in terms of switching between everything.
I love when I load up the game and it brings up that whole screen of all, like, the different good mornings and hellos in a dozen different languages.
Yeah.
Guten Tag, and it just comes up. It's like, good morning, and it loads up the game. I'm like, wow, it's like I have my very own HAL to take into the game. It's wonderful.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's man, I don't even understand the reviews for it.
And no, none of us are getting paid to plug Armored Core 5 in both podcasts. We're just that excited about it.
No, my thing is we'll just give a shameless plug, so maybe they'll send us more games.
Shameless plug.
Yeah.
And I heard
download Armored Core 5 for only $60.
And I heard Armand, you said, didn't he got a copy of Silent Hill HD Collection?
Yes, he did.
Have any of you heard how badly they borked that?
What do you mean?
Apparently, the best way I can describe it is that for a game that old, that's been around for this long, they had to patch it already. They had to patch it. You download a patch to be able to play an HD Collection game.
Right.
That's bad. We're talking errors such as the fog effects being absent to the point that you can see completely unfinished backgrounds and pieces of the environment you weren't supposed to see. A trophy popping up in the middle of a cutscene, slowing your cutscene down to 1 frame per second so that it takes... Oh, so you have to quit just to be able to start playing the game. All manner of glitches, and that's just with the second one. Apparently, the third game, Silent Hill 3, was hit even worse. And I mean, how can you fuck up such a sure way to make money as an HD collection of those Silent Hill games? I mean, that's such easy money.
Why are we asking such a question about developers in light of all the stuff that's been happening in the last few weeks?
Oh, man, there's even Slant 6, too. I think we have to cover that a little bit. Slant 6. Oh, yeah, we knew there was something wrong with Operation Raccoon City. Well, aside from the game just sucking.
Well, I mean, dude, you can't criticize them for, you know, you can't criticize them for how the game turned out when they were so busy making day one console exclusive DLC multiplayer modes. I mean, they have to focus on what's really important.
Well, you know what? It's in my mind that these people, these big developers, deserve anything that is the fans are going to do to them for it. And believe me, there's enough rage out there. The economy's hard enough. People can't just spend their money.
It's true.
On this crap. Yeah. So they're going to look to people like us who are trying to give a fair and balanced viewpoint of saying, look, if we're calling a game crap, and I mean, Bob goes out of his way to be as fair as possible on these, to give them every benefit of the doubt, but he sits there and I watch him twitch trying to think of something positive to say about some games. And it's hard, you know.
What we're really trying to say is that the game reviewers who are losing years of their life playing these horrible games for you are the true heroes of the industry.
That's right. That's right. I've lost 5 years of my game.
We suffer.
My gaming life.
We suffer so that you don't have to.
So
yeah, I actually played Operation Raccoon City, and the first thing that did, it froze. I'm like, oh, that's fitting. Fuck you, Slant 6.
Not their fault that the game got bad reviews.
No, it is. It's
not
their
fault that Capcom didn't buy more ad revenue.
God. Man, it's just...
You know, you all are awful judgmental. Oh, wow, really?
When one of my friends picks up the game, when he gets Operation Raccoon City and he plays it for a little bit at a friend's house, and he comes back and I ask him how it is, and he says it's like a really bad version of SOCOM with zombies. Then yeah, if he doesn't like it, then that's saying something.
Yeah, that's pretty horrible. And you know what? Like I said, they deserve anything that happens to them. In tough economic times, people are the word's going to get around a lot faster. This little debacle with BioWare has proved that the news does go out, because it's hitting them in the revenue. There have been way too many cancellations on the Old Republic.
Did you hear they canceled Dragon Age 2 DLC and stuff too just recently?
Yep. So, you know, my wake up. Wake up, developing community, because the fans are definitely awake and they are pissed.
It's just pretty much natural selection, survival of the fittest. If you can't give people what they want, you're not going to come out of this situation, this economy, you know, on top. I mean, just look at THQ right now; they're sinking fast,
and they deserve to.
I mean, I think we could go around the round table and just one at a time name off franchises that have been ruined in the last couple of years. I mean, Killzone, that's dead to me.
Are we talking about like changing of developers and killing it?
No, just in general, franchises that have been ruined, that have gone away from what made them popular in the first place and have just ruined themselves.
Yeah, Killzone tried to streamline itself and that just backfired.
SOCOM.
So that Zipper.
Yep. Last SOCOM game killed the series.
Yeah. 4 was horrible. Fables. It really was.
Dead. Fables dead. The latest Red Faction went down in flames because they completely went away from what was so popular in the last title. I mean, they literally have said, like, that performed so badly, they're never doing another one. They've literally just...
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Hurts me, dude. That hurts me because I love the Red Faction series. I played all of them except for the newest one because it had no multiplayer. Was really why I didn't play it.
Yeah, they flat out said it did so bad, we're never doing another one.
That's stupid, man. Guerrilla had a great style and everything about it. I don't know. They should have stuck with that model for Armageddon.
Well, they did, and they just put it into linear corridors.
Well, yeah, that, and well, yeah, they got rid of the big open areas, really, and then there's no multiplayer at all besides four-person, like, co-op horde-type mode. That was bullshit.
Yeah. And the thing is, Volition's a very good developer.
They're very...
You know, they're very good, and to have the franchise just turned into that, it was just really unfortunate.
They just took a big risk on that whole alien, shifting it from... You know, it was always the miners versus the corporation or the military or whatever, and then it was miners versus the aliens, and that's not what Red Faction Games about, so...
I'm not done yet, either. Front Mission, there's another one. Destroyed. Ruined.
Aliens versus Predator.
Oh, God. Yeah. I loved that series. I loved that series, and they killed it.
Yep.
Killed it big time.
I'll say this right now, right on this podcast for everyone to hear. Fuck Rebellion, and
yes.
Fuck Sega.
Mm-hmm.
Plus one.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
like this if you cry every time.
Publishing the other Colonial Marines game, so.
That's Gearbox, and given their... I liked Borderlands. I don't give a fuck what anyone says.
No, Gearbox is good.
Honestly, they don't deserve the flack that they got for Duke Nukem. They did almost nothing with it. They took the scraps that were left behind by... They took the scraps that were left behind. They actually gave it to a different developer. It was actually a different developer that put that together under Gearbox's loose supervision, and then Gearbox kind of just shoved it out the door. They had very little to do with it. And
okay, so what about Brothers in Arms? Where is Gearbox's blame lie in that? That's another series.
I'll just say this.
Mature, Rob. So mature.
Any AI-driven squad-based shooter, if you mess up the squad, you know, the tactics and things like that, even with the best intentions, it can go really bad, and it did that time. And that's just I still think Borderlands was really good mix of open world shooter and Diablo, and
yeah, other than that horrific ending. Talk about bad
at least
ethics.
They made up for it with the DLC, which is some of the best DLC I've seen in the industry, to be fair. You know, decently priced, hours upon hours of extra content.
I don't know, I just felt like it was kind of like Mass Effect in a way. It's like I kind of felt like, what was the point of me just playing the
whole
entire
game? Don't
even. No, no.
I will.
It was a lot of whining.
You cannot compare 5 years of investment in a story-driven choice advertise, you know, choice-driven...
To a horribly shitty ending on Borderlands? Of course I can. So is it going to make much sense? Probably not, but I can compare it to it.
A fucking gamer.
Considering my youngest son finally gave back that game that he took from me and played through, and he had the look on his face when he brought the game back and put it in my hand. He said, "Yeah, Dad, I agree with you." And then he just turned around and walked out.
Was it that I just stepped in something funny look on his
face? No, it was the same look I had, like, what the hell just happened?
When the life force is draining from your face.
Yeah, as I feel the vampiric BioWare power sucking the joy out of my life.
Casey
yeah.
Hudson is an emotional vampire.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Star Wars reference too.
We are BioWare, the evil empire. We are BioWare. Casey Hudson is the emperor. Yeah, that's...
Now he's just... I don't know what to say about Casey. I can't really, like, you know, maybe he did have...
No,
no
excuse. No,
I can't say
there's
that he had
no
good intentions.
How do we know he wasn't pressured by EA to do some shit?
That's entirely
considering
true.
Some of the leaks that have come out, supposedly, I am really beginning to think that he's being set up.
To take the fall?
He's been set up to take a fall for this one.
It's possible. Big time. It's very possible.
And he should.
I mean, because it went from... Oh, we're pissed off to the writers too. We're pissed off at the leads.
The writers are coming out there and going, "Wait a minute, not our fault." So, yeah. Anyway, enough about that.
I mean, we've
right, and the fact we love Armored Core. We like weird, and basically, we're going to be paying a lot more attention to the mid-level developer companies, because I'm telling you what, they are coming out with some awesome stuff, and I honestly think they belong on top.
You know, honestly though, I think another one we're gonna have to look out for is Vigil.
with Darksiders 2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm kind of waiting for it.
I think that's
going to
be another.
I had never played Darksiders, and then I got on Live and started playing that and went, oh, my.
Well, and
this would be fun.
This is exactly – I was talking in detail with about this with Rob before. It's just that there's a couple franchises right now. They're just getting into their first sequel, and they're hitting that point right now where I think these developers, they know that this is make or break. This is either going to turn it into a franchise, or this is going to be the last game in the series that they make. And they're going all out. I mean, with Darksiders, I don't know if you've heard, but apparently the first – hub world of many in Darksiders 2 is 1.5 times the size of the entirety of the first Darksiders. They introduced
just the hub world?
Yeah, just one of the hub worlds in Darksiders 2. Just one of. There are multiple hub worlds. There are NPCs, side quests to go on, randomized loot, a different traversal system letting you hop all around the place on top, you know, like platforming stuff. Mm-hmm. Kind of Prince of Persia style, jumping from ledges and grabbing onto stuff. And pretty much, they really wanted to go all out, and I think that they did. I think that they just pretty much, you know, threw the glove down and decided this might be, especially with THQ in its current state, like, this might be the last Darksiders game we make. Let's make it a hell of a game.
Mm-hmm. Talk about another series that got in the toilet, Prince of Persia.
Would you get off? We're looking at positive things right now, not you being a little...
I know, but there's so many fucking negatives everywhere.
God, oh my God.
Oh my God, it's the end of the world. Fire's
well, no,
ready
that's
from
coming
the sky.
That's coming in a few months.
Cats and dogs living together.
when the world ends, you're going to be stuck in a room with your favorite place, your favorite, you know, console, and you're just going to have all these shitty franchises, and that's it.
No, you're going to be sitting in a room with no power. After the EMP is blasted, we've been blasted by a coronal mass ejection, and the power's all down. You'll be sitting at your console, which won't run, and thinking about the games, you know, that you could have had. Yeah.
Probably light Mass Effect 3 on fire.
Burn it for heat.
For warm.
Hey, I don't know about you, but I plan to have power. I'm going to have an entire room full of hamsters running on wheels.
And you should tell your girlfriend to start working on that treadmill because she's going to be giving you gaming power.
Faster, honey, faster. I got to kill the snoobs.
Yeah, I see. That's Rob. We have your girlfriend up there running.
Oh, she'd be making me running. I want to play Fable.
No, yeah, I'm sorry, I've got to have my Netflix. Get to moving.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'll just have a generator, so sorry.
Yeah.
Generators, I hate to be the, you know, as the prepping god here, I have to be the one to tell you that your generator is only good for about, you know, 48 hours.
Well, that's how much, depending on how much gas I have.
Mm. Yeah, we have a lot of people here in Eugene after our surprise snowstorm that broke all the trees and wiped power out all over town. Yeah.
If an EMP hits and fries most of the cars out there and stuff like that, you could always go out and siphon gas from abandoned cars for your generator, but have fun doing that.
Fuck yeah, I'll do it.
Well, yeah.
In New York? Good fucking luck.
There's so many cars in New York.
You're going to be lucky. Problem. You're going to be lucky if a week after that and the stores are empty, you know, 12 hours after after everything hits, you're going to be lucky that people aren't eating each other in New York.
Bro, so, what do you think this is? We have so many farms in New York. Where are you?
You're in up. We're talking up. I'm talking the city.
I'm on Long Island, dude, and even Long Island has a lot of farms on it, too.
It doesn't matter. The first thing you're going to want to do is get the fuck out of
the islands. You're going to have all those creepy people from the city trying to come and
they won't come to the island because there's no other way off the island than through the city, so they know they'd just be going from one island to another island. They'd most likely go into Jersey or upstate New York. They wouldn't come.
There are millions of people in New York City. Some of them are going to come up there, and they're going to be wanting things.
They're
going to
be taking your. They're going to be taking your shit.
Oh no! I'll tell you what's going to happen. If that shit happens, Nassau County or anyway, Long Island will decide to blow the bridges, and they won't let anyone in. If you have enough people on the island, they won't let more. They'll just be like, you know what? We can sustain our population.
And then you'll be trapped on the fucking island.
You know what? You all have not been in the conversations that I've had with some people who are, you know, have actually planned for this type of, you know, the quote unquote zombie apocalypse. I use zombies as the, you know, the catch-all phrase.
Yeah.
panicked people who have no brain.
Yeah. You know, and they'll just go where the other people are going.
They're going to go where they think it's going to be safe. Yeah, good luck with that. There is no safety.
I'm fucked. I'm on an island anyway. I mean, we could just take a boat across to the mainland, but the bridges are going to be packed. We ain't getting off this island. We ain't going nowhere. I don't know why anyone would want to try to come back to an island and it's going to be hard to get off of.
Yeah.
Change your last name to Phelps and learn to swim.
Well, on that note, you know, notice that I was told that I had to write the review write the article for what is the next upcoming potential global apocalypse.
Isn't that a pretty big
spreading
list?
Some fear, huh?
Well, you know, we are a conspiracy website too.
Speaking of which, we do have a couple
of
things.
I don't work for
the fear-mongering
website, FYI. In all seriousness, though, I don't think we should ever be trying to get people scared.
Well, there's a difference between informing people and fear-mongering.
Definitely true, but we need to make sure that we walk that line.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the one that's kind of got me a little hot and bothered. If you watched the stock market, about a year and a half now, there have been some sites that have been really keeping an eye on high-frequency traders. These are computer programs that go out there and make trades with no intention of actually buying anything, just trying to set a price on particular stocks. The stock that everybody's been real happy with over the last year or so has been Apple. And I guess one of the high-frequency trading algorithms got a hold of Apple today and hammered it up, down, sideways, and basically performed acts, you know, which in prison, you know, are normal, but in the rest of society aren't. And it was not a pretty thing, and it was really overt. And my personal belief is these algorithms are going to pretty much make it make the stock market fall flat on its face.
Who controls these algorithms?
Different companies. And their whole point is to make, you know, like a percentage of a penny per trade. Mm-hmm. But when you're making 50 million of them in a second, that change adds up really quick. It's a way of making money. By beating everybody else, the fastest algorithm wins. The problem is these algorithms are screwing up the stock market really bad. And I think that that's probably going to push the stock market, which is already kind of weak already, into some serious problems.
Well, you know what you can do to stop this? You can write a letter to your senator.
No,
oh, yeah.
They're well aware of what's going on. The CFTC isn't doing anything about it. They've had people screaming at the top of their lungs for 2 years now saying these high-frequency traders, trading algorithms are a bad thing, and they've let them pass. And they have some very well-informed, knowledgeable people trying to fix it, and it's not working. Nobody cares.
They're always going to let this stuff get passed.
Well, nobody cares. There's always somebody who cares. But
well, we care because it's my retirement that's getting messed with. But it's the little guys, the big guys don't care. The little guys, you know, like us, we care, but what can we do about it? We can pull our money, like I did, and sit in a money market account with my retirement.
Good.
But, and say I'm not going to play this game, but I'm making like 0.3% interest on my retirement. You know, it's safe until our currency's not worth anything anymore. So.
Though I do want to bring up something about the whole fear mongering thing. I think there is a huge difference. Like I want to bring up an example. Planet X. Okay. that is fear mongering. Okay. When you have some crazy form lady making bullshit up about how a planet is going to collide into Earth or a brown dwarf or a fucking star or whatever the hell it was, collide into Earth. You know, that's fear mongering.
Hold on,
talking
about Nibiru.
Nibiru, yeah.
Nibiru.
There's no book.
Are we talking the Sitchin book?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay.
No.
Don't tell me you ascribe to the whole ancient astronaut theory and
okay, honestly though, this dude is one of the foremost experts on ancient Sumerian texts. Okay, that's all I have to say.
Yes, but he's also been heavily discredited.
Yeah, but
hold on to your butts, people. Here we go.
There's no butt.
Sitchin.
There's no butt.
Allow
Mike.
Me to point out that Sitchin, some of his translation is suspect. Okay.
Is Sitchin's that guy?
Yeah,
that totally
do you know how to translate ancient Sumerian?
I have to say that I'm not an expert
suspect
in ancient Sumerian. But you know, I think that they're. I think that some of he has an interesting story. Whether it's correct or not, I can't say.
In fact, he's probably the one in Mass Effect 3 talking to that little boy.
Oh my God! Enough of Mass Effect 3. We're done with that.
I know.
Let it
but
die.
I'm just saying, yeah, it's never gonna die. The whole thing about Planet X and Nibiru, they're two separate, like completely different things. First off, so people, you know, meshing them into one thing.
Can I summarize what you're trying to say here? There are some things out there that are fear mongering. There are other things out there, like potential bird flu,
yeah,
which are real.
Right, right.
All right. There are things like potential economic collapse that are very real. All right.
Look at this.
There are things like.
Everybody, look at that.
Well, people listening can't look.
What is this? Mongering, or is this just speculation? What's that? National Geographic.
Oh, I'm looking now.
Look at that. That's what, today, I think, or yesterday.
We'll provide a link to this, by the way, too.
Yeah, that's today, March 23rd.
If you think life on Earth moves too fast, imagine being
hypervelocity planets, huh? That's interesting.
So this is what you brought to an eye fight.
everyone knows about rogue. I mean, not everyone, but rogue planets are, you know, a widely understood thing. I mean, there could be a million right now, but the people don't understand.
Right. Yeah, the odds are very crazy. People, I'm just saying. Look, I'm not saying that woman is right about Planet X or
she was batshit
it's
crazy,
not
Mike.
Even,
oh my
see,
God!
I don't know what the video is or whatever or the whatever, but.
No, she was okay. Let's explain. She was part of a forum, right, where she got this group of people to believe that Planet X was going to come, right. Of course, the day comes, Planet X, you know, doesn't collide into Earth, right, and then she calls, and you know, people are killing their animals because they think a planet is going to collide into Earth, and it never happened, right. Obviously, and then she's like, oh no, we were wrong. It's going to be a different date. So the whole Planet X thing is crap. Now, Nibiru or whatever. Yes, the ancient astronaut theory, you know, Sitchin or whatever. He at least did some sort of research, right? Now, that's been discredited by other people. So I can't really say that I could take that seriously either.
Well, as far as the The Nibiru planet coming and colliding with Earth, I don't know if that's true. But some of the other shit about the Anunnaki and the Sumerian gods and shit, that shit's it's pretty crazy.
And here's the thing, too, is if there was a planet or a brown dwarf or whatever coming towards Earth, there are so many douchebag amateur astronomers out in the world that they would notice something hurling itself towards Earth.
Oh, not
I would know because I used to be one of those people. You know, so
yeah, but first of all, you have to take into account that just because you can look up at the sky doesn't mean that you know there could be something on the other side of the planet that you obviously can't see, and that the other people on the other side can't see. It doesn't mean just because there's a lot of amateurs out there with decently good telescopes, maybe a couple $1,000 telescopes, that they could see shit. Doesn't mean they're going to be able to scan the entire sky.
That's true.
We would be able to detect a planetary body.
I'm not here saying that there's anything coming towards us at all. All I'm saying is that bullshit. I don't know, bullshit.
As far as random rogue planets coming
in. I doubt that's going to happen. There's more of a chance of an asteroid hitting us than...
But the asteroid, now that is not fear-mongering. That is like a legitimate thing. There's a difference there.
Well, they have like a whole set department at NASA that looks for near-Earth objects or whatever. It's sort of like real, like mile, at least like mile-wide asteroids and stuff.
I mean, I don't... There's one thing that I'm worried about, and I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but there's something that not that many people really seem to know about. I mean, everyone knows about asteroids and comets and the potential devastation of that, but, I mean, do some of you realize that America is effectively screwed at some point in the future when Yellowstone goes up in one of the biggest eruptions?
Oh, yeah. Well, no.
Bye, Taylor.
I mean, America is just flat out at some point in the future, whether it's 100 years from now or 1,000, America's flat out fucked when Yellowstone goes up.
Oh, yeah, the super volcano. But, I mean, it's not just America. It's going to, like, blot out the sun, the whole world.
Oh, yeah, but America's going to be the one that gets buried in 50 meters of ash.
You all are going to get buried. We might get a foot.
You guys are fucked.
On the right side.
I'll be okay. I'll be up near the water. I'll be like, I'll get the fuck out of here. Go across. I'll fucking go across the pond to England and go chill with them.
Yeah, I'm sure things are going well over there. Well,
yeah, you might. You
why,
might
don't you go, why don't you head off to Greece, too?
You're
going to
get more than a foot of ash. You're going to get a massive fucking earthquake with it, too, you know?
Well, yeah, see, that's the thing. Here's the other global catastrophe that I'm more concerned about. The Pacific, everybody talks about Southern California as being the potential earthquake. I got news for folks. The big quake's going to hit in the Pacific Northwest. We're in a subduction zone here, kind of like the earthquake they had over on the other side of the pond last year.
Cascadia fault line.
Yeah, if the Cascadia plate goes, you're going to be missing Seattle, Portland, Oregon, where we are. The last quake they had was in the early 1800s.
They did have a really massive one in Seattle like 10 years back. I think,
it wasn't a massive one. It was like a 6.
Okay, it was big for Seattle. It screwed them up.
The last big quake they had up here, it dropped the sea level 10 feet. So, and that was like 300 years. They happen at, we're due. They happen about every 300 years, 250 to 300 years, and we're due. So
is that fear-mongering, or is that just, like, realization? You know,
these
like,
things,
oh, there's so much shit.
These things are honestly inevitable. There's no way to get around it. These things are going to happen. It doesn't matter if it's 50, if it's tomorrow, 50 years, 100 years, 1,000. These things are going to happen.
Well, what about, like, a reversal of the magnetic poles? What do you think that'll do?
It's happened before and it'll probably happen again. And,
a lot of times, man.
Let's just go way out there. And I don't mean like, you know, into crazy land. I just mean, let's go way out from our time and like just dead center, inevitable, impossible to stop. Mm-hmm. The Earth is not going to last, period.
Well, yeah, eventually the sun's going to become a red giant and engulf the three inner planets of our solar system.
Yeah, and long before that, it's going to be completely uninhabitable. I mean, flat out, whether
nuclear war or something?
It doesn't matter. I mean, people...
Something's going to get us.
Something is going to kill everyone on Earth unless... People leave.
Okay. Now we go from that. That's a little bit on the fear mongering side.
It's not fear mongering. It's a fact.
Just cut this whole section
out. It's a fact. If all of your eggs are in one basket, whether it's a comet, a gamma ray burst.
Now you're saying the extinction of humanity.
No, I'm talking about the
extinction
of life
on this planet.
Yes.
That okay.
Whether it's a gamma ray burst, a massive greenhouse effect from tons of sequestered gases bubbling up to the surface, whether it's a gamma ray burst, black hole collision, asteroids, massive earthquakes, the Yellowstone going up and blotting out the sun for years so that all plant life dies. I mean, even if we manage to weather everything out and eventually the sun's going to consume the planet. So flat out, we have to leave at some point. I mean, it is really an inevitable fact. It doesn't matter if it's tomorrow or a million years from now. Eventually, nothing is going to be able to live on this planet. That's just how it is.
And that's how we end up on that. not like last week.
Well, and honestly, I think it's a wonderful thing in that, I mean, you know, Manifest Destiny, when, you know, it's the destiny of any intelligent race to leave, to spread and go out there. And while infinite growth is pretty much impossible on planet Earth, or any planet for that matter, due to limited resources in space, infinite growth is not impossible out there in the galaxy and beyond. It's just, if we just spread, if we just find new ways to move out there, that's mankind's destiny.
So basically what you're saying is, let's not worry about conspiracies. Let's look at possibilities.
Honestly, I wish that was how all of humanity can be. I mean,
hey, I've looked at, you know, up until 2 years ago, I was very optimistic about our chances. I'm absolutely serious. I was very optimistic. And then something happened, and Rob will tell you when it happened. And I went, we are completely and utterly fucked. And I meant that. And I mean that. And I honestly believe that is what it is.
What was that defining moment?
BP.
And why do you think that's fucked us so badly?
Because with peak oil, you know, the way it is, and I happen to believe in peak oil, the fact that we are going down in drilling down into basically the top of a volcano down in the Gulf of Mexico, and into incredibly deep water with technology that we really don't have, and going after oil because we can't get it other places, we're in trouble. Our economy cannot as a civilization keep depending on oil.
And in my opinion, oil is a wasted opportunity. It was an opportunity for us to, you know, an opportunity for us to hit our industrial revolution and then move on to something else. But we've become completely dependent on it. Instead of using it as a stepping stone, everything is based off of it. Mm-hmm. And when it goes away, you pull out that foundation stone, everything above it's going to crumble out.
I do want to wrap up, though, and probably on a more positive note, because I feel like we could talk about doom and gloom all freaking day and week long. But I don't know. What's something positive? Can we get something positive out of this?
I think I honestly just go back to thinking of Manifest Destiny, the destiny of the human race. And I think that for the most part, that human beings are good creatures for the most part, that we all want the best for each other, and tons of things get in the way, evils that we've created evils around us.
Wait,
left
on,
and
hold
right
on.
Like
hold
money
on. One second.
What?
Why'd you say Manifest Destiny?
You know what Manifest Destiny is and the concept behind it?
Yeah, that's white man's God-given right to go westward.
I consider in this sense more so to be mankind's destiny to spread outward into space and to leave this planet.
You got to clarify that for us.
I did earlier. I
Manifest
did earlier.
Space.
Yeah, but are we going to be spreading out over the top of other species out there?
Manifest space.
Maybe.
Destiny. Get it right.
So Manifest is it going to be a Federation type spread, or are we going to be doing like Babylon 5?
Who knows?
Where you're just all your eggs in one basket on
We're
a space.
We're getting back to the doom and the gloom, guys.
okay.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just messing with you.
I think Mike should wrap it up.
Okay, so on a positive note here, mankind needs to come together, put away our differences, build a better future, build better worlds, and enjoy.
Build better worlds as fuck. The Weyland Yutani's god tagline. That's what you picked.
I'm hearing choruses of children in the background. I may puke.
We need to build fires to hold hands around instead of weapons.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
That would be nice.
God, want to sing Kumbaya?
Mike's like, you bastards.
Can we sing Kumbaya now?
It's not my fault that Mike's vision of the future is Weyland Yutani.